Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 35 of Her, the podcast, all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, and her life. Well, today we're going to be talking about how to improve intimacy. No, it's not a Mission Impossible. So just wipe that out of your brains right now. We're going to fix this all up today. But before we hop on to our episode, I want to make sure you know it's made possible by our friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix that are customized just for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. To learn more, please hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And just a quick reminder to come on over to iTunes after our episode and rate this podcast and review us, because guess what? I read them all. Love to hear from you. Welcome your thoughts. So thanks if you can do that for us. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind.
Her body.
Her life. It's all about her.
Huh, improving intimacy. Well, who are we going to be talking to? Dr. Jen Mann. She is a psychotherapist, author, and television and radio personality, host and therapist for VH1's Couples Therapy. Yeah, that's where you saw her. Now in its sixth season, because God knows we need the help, and VH1 Family Therapy. She's a regular guest as a psychological expert on the Today Show, The Doctors, Access Hollywood. They all need help there. The Insider and Home and Family. It's a mess out there in LA, but we're not going to go there. Oh my goodness, I could go on forever. She's done the Oprah Winfrey Show. And she's also author of Super Baby, 12 Ways to Give Your Child a Head Start in the First 3 Years. Oh, my goodness gracious. But the title of her current book is The Relationship Fix. Oh, boy. And it just came out. And this is all about, well, relationships. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Hey, Dr. Mann, welcome to the Her Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me and for that lovely introduction.
Oh, I love doing those things. Now, you're going to be helping us debunk common myths about what makes a relationship good or bad. Good luck. I mean, what do we got, like a 9-hour podcast? I mean, this thing takes forever to get through that
exactly.
One.
Exactly. How many hours do you have?
Oh, yeah, ma'am.
I'll cancel my next few clients.
I know. Seriously, let's just, you know, kill it and just do it right now, you know.
Yeah.
And we're going to look at tools that we can give couples to communicate more effectively, because communication, honey, in case you haven't figured it out by now, if you're utterly clueless, is the glue that keeps this whole thing together, and how to feel more connected with one another. All right. And you're going to be revealing your 6 important tips. Okay. What's the biggest mistake couples make in a relationship?
Well, I think that the biggest thing that couples don't realize is how important connection is. And there was a study that was done by a brilliant researcher named M. Gary Newman a number of years ago, and he did actually 2 studies. One was the largest study of faithful versus non-faithful men, and the other was the largest study of faithful versus non-faithful women. The results he found were so shocking even to him, and I've talked to him about it personally both and read what he's written about it. It shocked him, and it shocked me when I read it. And what was most shocking is that only in 8% of the cases for the men and 7% of the cases for the women who were unfaithful was the number one reason why they committed infidelity, sex. Sex was not the reason that people cheated. The number one reason for over 90% of the couples was a lack of emotional connection. And it was either, statistically, it was either a lack of emotional connection or a combination of a lack of emotional and sexual connection. That's huge. And what most couples don't realize is how important that bond is, how important that connection is, that, you know, there will always be someone who's younger, perkier, thinner, in better shape, more muscular, whatever it is, fill in the blank, than you are. But if you are maintaining that connection and nurturing that connection between the two of you every day, then you have a home court advantage at all times. that can't be created overnight. And most people are not willing to sacrifice that because that's irreplaceable. You can always find sex, but you can't always find connection.
Oh, I'm going to remember that one. Now, there's a one-liner for you out there. You can always find sex, but you can't always find connection. All right, so I'm going to go to this place, right, of connection. What if you've lost it? Because you know how it goes, right? People lose
it because
of what?
Well, that's why I wrote this book.
Yeah. Hello, it's a relationship fix.
I think a lot of couples do, and it was part of the inspiration for writing this book, that there are a lot of couples who... They're not screaming, yelling. They're not in a disaster. Nobody's cheated, but they're kind of on autopilot where their relationship could be a whole lot better than it is. But the demands of careers, raising children, carpool, soccer practice, helping kids with homework, you know, all that sort of stuff has taken, it's kind of sucked the life out of your relationship and taken the place of the connection. And by the time you get home and get in bed, you're too exhausted to even talk, and you turn on the TV and then you fall asleep, and another day has gone by where neither of you have connected. So, you know, the first chapter in the book, as you mentioned, it's six steps to improving communication, connection, and intimacy is the subtitle of the relationship fix. The first chapter is all about how to create connection. The second is how to fight fair. The third is how to negotiate in a relationship, because we are constantly negotiating everything from what restaurant we are going to go to where we're going to take a vacation, to what kind of relationship we're going to have, to whether we want to be monogamous or not. The fourth is how to work through childhood issues so they don't impact your relationship. The fifth is how to forgive and make amends, because no matter how wonderful you are, eventually you're going to hurt your partner intentionally or unintentionally. And the fifth is how to reignite your sex life. And it's really important. And like we're talking about, a lot of couples go on autopilot, and the book is filled with tips and studies. I'm very big on research. And some of the things that I found, some of the simple tips I found were really research-based. Like there was a study that came out that found that couples who maintain contact through text messages throughout the day report that they have happier relationships and their relationships last longer. You know, it's something simple that you can do to stay connected. Another study that came out really surprised me, and what they found was that couples who celebrate their successes together have a higher rate of longevity. You know, who would have thought, you know, if somebody said to me, what's important, that would have been the last thing on my list prior to reading that study.
No, wait a minute. So what you're saying is that if someone has a success in their life at any level, it could be you just ran your first marathon. It could be you got that, you know, killer promotion or that monster job or whatever happened, that celebrating the successes, you know, it's interesting. I would think you would naturally do that, wouldn't you? No.
You know, what? I think in this busy world, I think we take things for granted. And I think we go, oh, you got the promotion, honey, I'm so happy, it's so great. Now we can afford to go on vacation. And then you're done, you know. Okay, who can take the kids for carpool?
We're done.
And I think that, and I think that's the way society works today. But I think that we need to be more relationship focused, and we need to celebrate these things with our partners. You know, love requires intimacy, and it requires face-to-face conversation. And most people don't realize how important eye contact is. That's one of those really simple things that too often we're talking to our partner and our phone goes off and we're looking at our phone instead of our partner, or, you know, we're walking into, you know, the other room to change our clothes because we're tired and we just want to get in bed, but we're not giving our partner the respect of focus and connection and eye contact. You know, it's how we know we're important to the other person. You care enough to actually listen to me and look me in the eye.
How fascinating. It reminds me of that New York Times piece that was written about the 36 questions you have to ask in back and forth. And a piece of that
I talk about that in the book.
Well, it was staring at one another and just being able to look eye to eye and actually connect and communicate with your partner. Yeah. Whoa. You know, how many times have you gone to dinner, seriously, and you see couples just sitting there like zombies? They don't even talk. They're having a zombie dinner.
You're right on the money, and I actually have the 36 questions in the book. It's Appendix A. And for your listeners who don't know what we're referring to, it was a brilliant study that was done by a guy named Arthur Aaron, who's one of the foremost researchers about relationships and connection, and I've interviewed him myself. He's an amazing, amazing guy. And he created these 36 questions, and he did a study where he was looking at how his intimacy developed. And he had a male heterosexual person and a female heterosexual person both sit down together. They've never met each other and ask each other the 36 questions. He had, you know, numerous sets of people do this. And what he found was that what creates intimacy is asking questions and a increasing sense of closeness and intimacy, which is created by talking. And his study was so effective that one couple actually married each other. And then many years later, a woman named Mandy Lee Catrone did an article in the LA in the New York Times where she, as an experiment, did the 36 questions. And as you mentioned, there was a 4-minute eye gaze at the end of the 36 questions. She spoke to another male teacher and said, "Hey, want to try this with me?" He said, "Sure, let's do it." So they went, they asked each other the 36 questions, then they stood on a bridge together for 4 minutes and gazed into each other's eyes, and sure enough, they fell in love. And I think that she described it beautifully, and what she said was that she likened it to a frog in a pot of boiling water. And what she said was, before we knew it, the heat was up. Before we knew it, we were in intimate territory, and it was so subtle and escalated so quietly that we didn't realize until we were there. And what it speaks to me, and I talk about this a lot in the Relationship Fix, is that it is so important to have discussions, to ask each other questions, to share and to reveal our intimate self with our partner. And on the flip side, it's so important not to do that with other people in order to protect our relationship. That confiding in other people, sharing the vulnerabilities of our relationship, talking about that stuff with other people, it's the gateway drug to affairs. It oftentimes is how emotional affairs begin.
Ah, no wonder. So there's a real cocoon of intimacy there and connectiveness that you don't want to share with other people that is really special between those two people. Wow, that is so powerful. I go back to that connection thing again and again and again. I just think that, you know, our environment, our crazy living environment and whatever, makes it so easy to disconnect that it's hard to maintain connection. And don't you have to come up with unique and creative ways to stay connected with someone that you really care about?
Look, I think that talking is really the most important thing. You know, having a time that you have face-to-face conversations and contact is key. And in one of M. Gary Newman's studies, the Faithful Wives said the magic number was 30 minutes. On average, they spent 30 minutes with their husbands a day. And I think that a relationship is kind of like, you know, a friend of mine used to buy cars and fix them up and then sell them to get himself through college. And he had this one car that he bought. And he spent more time on this car than any other car. He replaced the engine. He replaced the ignition. He painted it. He restored the seating. He got a, you know, a new sound system. He became really, really invested in this car. And by the end, he didn't want to give it away. And our relationships are the same way. The more we invest in them, the less we want to take a chance of giving them away, the more we hold on to them. And I think that it is so important that we put in the time and energy into our relationship and we don't go on autopilot. We don't do what you're talking about, where we just kind of let the relationship carry on and we don't actually look our partner in the eye and have those 36 questions and have those conversations. And, you know, I don't know that we always have to come up with new and exciting things. That said, a really interesting study that I talk about in the Relationship Fix is that what the researchers have found is that doing new and exciting things together, it actually bonds couples to each other. And by doing new and interesting things, you don't have to create a scavenger hunt for your date. You don't have to jump out of, you know, buildings or planes in order to have that excitement. But something as simple as trying a new restaurant or going to a seminar that you've never been to together or going and listening to a band in a different part of town than you usually go to. It's really simple things that keep couples going and keep couples invested in the relationship.
Now, there's something I really want to hop into here because mm-hmm. it really, I think, is important. And you brought this up as one of the integral items that you discuss in the relationship fix, and that's forgiveness. How can mm-hmm. you forgive your partner if they have done something really hurtful towards you in the relationship? It could be almost anything. I mean, everyone goes through sure. really funky patches in their relationships.
Sure.
So,
or even
how do you go to the forgiveness place?
Yeah, sure. And I think couples hurt each other's feelings all the time. Sometimes we speak to each other in a tone that's not good. Or, you know, we share something that was said in private with someone we shouldn't have shared it with. Or, you know, on the more extreme level, an infidelity. And, you know, I talk about it in the relationship fix. There are four things I look for. I call it the four R's. And when I wrote this chapter, I did a tremendous amount of research. I'm a bit of an obsessive researcher, and this was a topic that really fascinated me, both personally and professionally. And I get calls on my radio show about it constantly. So I really looked at what does it take to make an effective apology, and also what do people need to hear in order to forgive? And I narrowed it down to four things. The first is remorse, showing the person you are truly sorry. To tell you, it pains me to know that I have hurt you so. I'm so terribly sorry for the pain that I have caused. A genuine heartfelt apology includes remorse. The second is responsibility. You have to take responsibility. You have to own the mistake that you made. You know, don't defend it. You know, you may have had a good reason why you messed up, but it doesn't matter when you're making the apology. Save that for later. You know, when you're able to say, you have every right to be angry with me. I shouldn't have said those things to you. There's no excuse for my behavior. I know I've hurt you, and I'm so sorry for that. It's powerful stuff. The third is recognition, to recognize how you have harmed someone and to be willing to sit and hear their feelings. It's hard when we have hurt someone that we love. It's hard not to get defensive. It's hard not to tell the other person why they shouldn't feel that way. But that prevents the other person from healing and for both of you to move on. You have to do that. And then the fourth thing is remedy, to make a plan of action. So often I get calls on my radio show where someone says, you know, for example, my husband cheated on me and I took him back and now he's cheating on me again. And I say, well, what made you think things would be different? Like, what made you choose to take this person back? And she'll say to me, he said he was sorry and he cried and he said he'd never do it again. And inevitably I say, well, what made you think he would never do it again? What plan of action did he take? What concrete things did he do so that he would learn new tools, have more insight and not do it again? And inevitably the answer is nothing. In order to make sure that you don't hurt your partner again, there has to be a plan. Whether it is, I'm going to give you the codes to my Facebook, or, you know, I am going to get therapy to address this issue, or I'm going to go into a 12-step program to address my alcoholism. Whatever it is, whatever way you have wronged your partner, you have to make a plan in order to correct it and change it so it doesn't happen again.
I love it. You know, action-oriented, a plan, a strategy. What I love about your work is that you're science-based. Of course, mm-hmm. I'm a physician and scientist, so I'm horribly biased here.
Yes.
But the other thing, too, is that you've synthesized this into words and phrases and rules and regs, as it were, that are really woman-friendly and, I guess, consumer-friendly. But in this case, this is the Her podcast. And so mm-hmm. women are listening in saying, whoa, let's see, remorse, responsibility, recognition, mm-hmm. remedy, I can get that. These are words yeah. that resonate well with me. But you know what's really cool is that they really sound to me like they're based upon a real long period of experience and expertise that you've had for many years.
Yeah.
It's it's like you've synthesized the stories of so many people out there, whether you're on the radio, television, you're talking to us now, you're writing. It really sounds rich and like, let's cut through the crap. And this is the bottom line. You show no more. If you don't show remorse, it ain't happening. That's the bottom line here, girlfriends. And that type of thing, which I just think that is hugely important here. Connection, communication, that forgiveness thing. There's so many people out there who just drag it around in the relationship. Oh, I remember when you did that 10 years ago and they never let it go.
That's a red flag. It's a red you have someone in your life, when your partner's saying 10 years ago you did X, Y, and Z, what you have to look at is your part in, wow, I probably haven't, if she's holding on to this for so long, I probably did not really hear her. I probably have not acknowledged her pain. I haven't done my four R's. Which R am I missing that would help her heal? Instead of getting defensive and, hey, it was 10 years ago, get over it already. Instead, look at, where have I fallen short in helping my partner heal?
Wow. I mean, that healing process is so incredibly important. And, you know, this whole issue of what's a true apology is sort of the anatomy of apology, which I just love, because if you don't have that, then you could bag any healing, because it's not going to happen. And all you're going to end up doing is having, you know, more countless zombie dinners where you don't connect. Because how do you connect with someone who hurt you and you never got through that healing forgiveness place? How do you do that, right?
Well, you can't. And look, you can't have that dinner. We've all seen those couples who are sitting there silently in the restaurant, not talking to each other. You know, who wants to be vulnerable to someone who hurt you and hasn't helped you heal after they hurt you? You know, we all hurt each other in our relationships. Hopefully they're not massive hurts, but sometimes they are. And if we don't help our partner heal, then we have to look at what's going on with us. Why are you not doing that?
Very interesting. And so, all right. So relationships go through all kinds of phases. You've got the honeymoon phase and you've got dopamine coming out of your ears and, you know, we get all that stuff. How do you keep it going forever and ever and ever and ever and ever?
Well, a few things. Again, you know, not to harp on it, but that connection thing is key. And, you know, that ability to make amends and to forgive, but also sex. And there are a lot of myths about the importance of sex in a relationship, but sex is important. Intimacy is important. When you are in a monogamous relationship with someone, it's the one thing that the two of you do that you don't do with anyone else. Without it, your roommates, your co-parents, your friends, you're a lot of things, but you are not romantic partners. And it is something that is very important for connection. It is very important for the relationship. And I think that one of the big myths is that if two people love each other, it just should be effortless and easy and instinctual. But that's not true. If you're going to have a sex life, especially a great sex life, over the course of decades, what turns you on, what turns your partner on, changes over time. And too often, we don't communicate, we don't ask for what we want, we don't let our partner know this thing has changed. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten calls from people, usually women, saying, you know, my partner does X, Y, and Z and has been doing this for 10, 20 years. I don't know how to tell him. I really don't like that. It's gone so far, I feel like I can't say anything now, but I really don't like this move that he does. We have to speak up, and it is a disservice to your partner not to.
You know, I just can't, you know, express how important communication is. If you can't talk about things as they evolve over time, for God's sake, if you're going to be with someone for, you know, flipping 40 years, newsflash, you're going to change over time. I mean, it happens, right?
Absolutely.
And if you're not talking about change, then, you know, you're stuck in the past and you're not living in the present. So the whole thing becomes, you know, kind of a wild mess of disconnection. So what's the point anyway? You know, you got to kind of, you know, Is there ever a point of, you know, you say the name of the book is a relationship fix. When is it unfixable? When is it
You ask a great question. And at the beginning of every season of Couples Therapy, when I get, you know, for those who don't watch the show, Couples Therapy is my show on VH1 where I do therapy with every season. It's 5 different celebrity couples come into a house and they live there for almost 3 weeks together. And I do intensive group therapy with the couples, individual therapy, couples therapy, family therapy, therapy exercises. It's super intense and it's not at all produced. It's very, very authentic and very real. And the first session I do with all of the couples, I always say there are people who are in this room who are here who are going to discover as a result of the therapy that you are not meant to be together. And my job is going to be to help you dismantle your relationship respectfully. And every season there's inevitably usually like one couple where it's like we go, yeah, this isn't for you. Like this is not the right match. And to me, what matters the most, and when I start to lecture about the relationship fix and talk to people about it, a woman, when I was speaking, raised her hand. She said, you know, I'm really excited about this book. I know I'm going to read it. My husband's not going to read it. Can I change my relationship without my husband reading it? And my answer was, yes, absolutely. We can always inspire another person to change. But there's also a no. And the no is if you have a partner who is not willing to meet your minimal needs of your relationship, who's unwilling to change, then it's going to be a deal breaker, you know? And sometimes that can be a blessing, a very painful blessing. But if your partner will not move, will not meet your minimal needs, then nothing's going to change. And if nothing changes, then, you know, you have what you have.
I love it. I love it. I mean, this is so important. It also says that a relationship is a living, breathing, dynamic thing, an entity. Yeah. And, you know, to let it go stale, you know, look, at the end of the day, it's work. You got to work to be able to keep things vibrant and alive. And you can't, you know, it's like watering a plant for crying out loud. Once it starts teetering over and, you know, hanging on the floor, come on, water the thing, give it some soil, you know, nurture it. Yeah. The same thing goes with these relationships as well. I'm curious, you know, since you work on television with celebrities and others, how different are their relationship things than, say, the wonderful, you know, relationships of women on the street out there who aren't celebrities, who aren't on television, you know, being working with you? Is it more play pretend on TV or is it real?
Is it play pretend when people come on Couples Therapy or like at home?
Yes.
I'm not sure
yes.
what you mean.
Therapy.
There's nothing play or pretend at all. It's raw, it's real, it's intense, and I stay in touch with most of the couples who come on my show, you know, forever. I still talk to people from season one of my show, so I know what's going on in their lives and what tools they continue to use and what they don't. But to answer your question, you would be surprised at how much common ground there is between the celebrity relationship and the non-celebrity relationship. That at the core, we're all struggling with the same issues. We're all struggling with whatever haunts us from our childhood affecting our relationship. We are all struggling with trust issues, with abandonment issues, with communication issues, with sex, with in-laws, with all that sort of stuff. Celebrities have the added burden of being under a microscope, and they have the added problem of they have more opportunity to stray than the average person. But the truth is, in this day and age, anyone can stray. You know, all you have to do is get on Facebook and Google your ex-boyfriend, and there you are. So, you know, it is, there's not that much of a difference. And I think that's why Couples Therapy has been such a hit show, that people turn on the TV thinking, oh, you know, I'm going to watch celebrities and point and go, ugh, I can't believe that. But instead, they turn on the TV and go, oh, my God, I totally relate. Wow, that's me. You know, that's what people tweet at me and write to me saying, I really identified with this couple on your show, and it made me look at things differently.
I love it. So that lent a lot more humanity to it, because I think a lot of people see these people on television and sort of write them off like, well, whatever, you know, because they're celebrities and they probably live in a completely different, you know, reality universe and whatever. But I guess what you're saying is, outside of obviously the public persona that they have, which, you know, common people don't have.
But common people,
they're human beings.
You know? Yeah, but common people do.
Well, I guess we do because of social media.
Yeah,
it's social media.
We all have a face to hide away forever and show ourselves and everyone is gone. That's the Billy Joel lyric. We all, you know, we have some parts of ourselves we share publicly and some that we don't, and celebrities are no different. You know, one of the reasons why people love to watch my show is because that gets torn down pretty fast, because people are in therapy sharing their greatest vulnerabilities, their biggest wounds, and that is, you know, it's inspiring for people, and it creates change.
I love it. That's very cool. So if you were to really, you know, look at this whole issue of relationship fix, which is the name of your book, if you were to just right now wrap it all together and, you know, throw it out there as a quick wrap summary of some tidbits that you could gift our wonderful Her podcast listeners with, what would you say?
Well, I would say that the number one most important thing is connection, and that pretty much everything else falls under the umbrella of connection, whether it is communicating well, fighting fairly, learning to negotiate well in your relationship, learning to forgive, working through your childhood issues, having sexual intimacy, that it all really falls under the umbrella of connection. And that I believe that we owe it to ourselves and to our partners to work to be the best partner that we can possibly be and the best selves that we can be, and to bring that to our relationship. And that, that it's always important to seek to inspire our partner to change and to better themselves, and we lead best by example.
Oh my gosh, I just love that. What a beautiful summary, and what a wonderful, wonderful gift to all of our listeners on the Her podcast. All right, ladies, we've been talking to Dr. Jen Mann, and she is the author of this brand new book that you just have to read. You just have to, because you've just heard the golden nuggets that are in it. Now we got to sort of deep dive into it. And the book is The Relationship Fix. And make sure also to follow her on television. She's a host and therapist for VH1's Couples Therapy, now in its sixth season, and VH1 Family Therapy. Watch her on television, period, but make certain to follow her there, because you know what it is? It's The Relationship Fix come alive, I guess, is a great way to put it. And run on over to her website. I went to it. It was fabulous. Oh my gosh, it's just wall-to-wall everything there. So you can learn about her wonderful work. It's called Doctor, that's D-O-C-T-O-R, Jen, J-E-N-N.com, and you'll be able to learn more. So, Dr. Mann, thank you so much for being on the Her podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, heck yeah. And remember to catch every episode of Her. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And please take 30 seconds and rate this podcast on iTunes, because we want to attract a boatload more people just like you. And that only happens when you rate it. And we really love it when you leave a review, because guess what? I read these things. That's right. In my spare time, I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Follow me on Twitter at PamPeekMD, and you can also check out our Her Show page at RadioMD.com and check out all of our past episodes while you're there. Thanks for listening, and stay well.